Is this real life?
Hey there, citizens of the world. Welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where our mission is to inspire, connect, and empower the world to learn English the fun, natural, and real life way.
We believe that English should not be a dry and boring school subject, but an inspiring and enriching lifestyle that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want.
In this podcast, you will have lots of fun, learn plenty of new expressions, and drastically improve your listening comprehension.
We'll also teach you the secrets of native pronunciation, connected speech, and help you tune in your listening and speaking to the rhythm and flow of English.
So sit back, relax, and let's get on with the show. Oh yeah, what's going on? This is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that, what do we believe?
Where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, and convenient way to learn English.
Oh yeah, so download this podcast now and listen to us while you are stuck in traffic.
Waiting for the rain to stop underneath a ledge.
Mm-hmm, where you're protected. What's a ledge?
A ledge is like the part of a building that protects you from the rain.
Also, while polishing your silverware or...
riding your motorcycle. Actually, no, don't do that. That's dangerous.
If you just keep one ear open on the podcast, the other ear in traffic, it should be fine.
Don't recommend that. It's dangerous.
So let me introduce you to my co-host, the man whose business card simply says, "I'll call you." Justin Murray.
What's up, guys? Yo, yo.
Thank you for gracing us with your presence today on the podcast.
Thank you for gracing me with that wonderful introduction.
Yeah, is that true? Your business card actually just says, "Hey, I'll call you."
It's true. Yeah? It's true, yeah.
Nice. Do you get much business from that?
It's intuition, man. I know people's numbers.
Yeah, okay.
Leave us a review and I'll call you.
Cool, so there you have it. Just leave us a 5-star iTunes review and maybe you get an anonymous phone call from the mystery man himself, Justin Murray.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Justin, what's up, man? What's all the news with you?
Nothing, man. Just working hard.
Working hard or hardly working?
A little bit of both. This moment, I'm hardly working.
Okay.
I'm recording a podcast.
Yeah, having a good time?
Yeah, here in the studio. It's always good to be back in the studio.
Yeah. You feeling amped?
I am amped. Yeah.
What does amped mean?
Amped means stoked.
What does stoked mean?
Stoked means jazzed. Excited, enthusiastic.
All those words mean excited, enthusiastic. So are you jazzed?
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Awesome. Amped.
An amp comes from like an amplifier, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. I think when Max was on the show, we used the term pumped.
Pumped up, yeah.
Like pumped up, there you go. So, like always, we are very amped, we're very jazzed, we're very stoked, and we're very pumped to do this podcast.
Let's do it.
Let's jump straight into the shout outs. You know you make me wanna shout. Okay, so this shout out is actually from a podcast listener, Guy B. Nudotingai?
Might be Gi, actually. Maybe.
Gi, okay.
I don't know.
Really sorry, buddy, if I mispronounce your name. But he left a really great comment on our last podcast. Let me just quickly read this out for you guys. Guy, or Gi, said, "First of all, I would like to thank you for all your efforts you're doing to help us being fluent in English. I really appreciate it. As far as I'm concerned, pronunciation is not the issue. What really causes my problems is linking words that sometimes change the normal way to pronounce words, such as, 'She told you to get it.' The 2 is pronounced as a D. 'She told you to get it.'
She told you to get it.
She told you to get it."
Yeah.
There you go. So I guess he's been using the transcript.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the idea. If you haven't been using it, you are missing out.
Yeah, Guy or Gi actually goes on to say, "My question is, how can we know if we have to pronounce it like the first one or the second one? Does it have a T sound or a D sound? Any resource on this subject is really welcomed. Also, we need a course on phrasal verbs and slang. All of those are important for better understanding of English." And then, leaves a little nice comment, "Please, do have a good time. Take care."
That's awesome.
Maybe he's not actually using the transcript to its full potential, because the transcript that goes along with our weekly podcast actually does focus on all these aspects of pronunciation, the connected speech, phrasal verbs, and slang.
We got pictures in there. You won't find a better resource out there for learning English podcasts, for pronunciation, for your listening comprehension.
Oh, yeah. So, thanks for that awesome comment, Guy or Guy. Sorry again if I mispronounced your last name.
You butchered it, man.
Did I butcher his name?
What does butcher mean?
Butcher, in this case, a butcher is someone who, like, cuts meat. That's his job. So, when you butcher someone's name, it means, in my case, I totally pronounced it incorrectly.
And this is a common collocation for pronunciation. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm sorry, I really butchered that word. I butchered your name.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is good if you ever need to apologize for mispronouncing something in a really bad way. It's okay. Yeah.
Especially names. Names are very difficult because it's so different in each country, in each language. It's hard to translate into another language, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That's it for the shout-outs. Let's move on to today's random news story. I actually found a news story today. I'm just going to read out the headline for you today, which is, curves ahead, woman uses sex doll to slow traffic.
Damn. There's actually, you know, there's a mannequin out here.
What's a mannequin?
A mannequin is like the models they use to put clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
They look like people.
Exactly, yeah.
There's this really big-breasted mannequin waving at traffic.
Yeah.
And this mechanic, this car shop out here on the street. And I think it catches people's peripheral vision.
Yeah, it does. What's peripheral vision?
It's like your vision off to the side.
Yeah, okay. Have you been caught by this mannequin before?
I walked by it, but I just thought about it. And I'm like, why is this here?
Yeah, well, I guess because the mannequin has actually got, she has got her hand in the air, and he changes actually the clothes that she wears. They're quite promiscuous clothes sometimes that the mannequin is wearing. I think it's to call men's attention.
Yeah, so apparently this is, you know, cross-cultural. It's not just Brazilian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, actually, last week we said we didn't really know so much about Chinese culture or China in general. This story actually comes from China. And again, the subtitle here is Sex Doll Slows Traffic at Crosswalk in China.
Damn.
Yeah. So it seems like the mannequins are good for calling attention. Let me just give you the summary of this article right now. Why settle for a boring old stop sign when you have a highly realistic sex doll on hand? An unidentified elderly woman was getting fed up with drivers speeding past a crosswalk near her home in China. Local cops offered little help, so the resourceful granny tried slowing down drivers with the aid of a strategically positioned inflatable girlfriend.
Wow.
Yeah. Real quickly, what do they mean by on hand? She had a realistic sex doll on hand.
Available at her disposal.
Okay, perfect.
Which means nearby, right?
Yeah. They also said the elderly woman was getting fed up with drivers speeding past a crosswalk. Fed up.
It means to be sick of something, to be really, really irritated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't tolerate it anymore.
Yeah. And a crosswalk?
Crosswalk is, I think they call it a zebra in New Zealand. You're a Kiwi, right? From New Zealand?
I'm an Aussie, mate.
Oh, okay. We call it a zebra, I think, there. But in the States, we call it, yeah, crosswalk.
Yeah, we don't actually say zebra as well. We say a zebra crossing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, zebra.
Is this how you actually say the animal, too?
Yeah, zebra. But, so yeah, she actually strategically put the inflatable doll so passerbyers would be distracted and kind of slow down in their car.
Passerbyer?
Yeah.
People that pass by?
Exactly.
Pedestrians.
Exactly. She tied the counterfeit cutie to a tree next to the crosswalk, apparently hoping that rubbernecking motorists would slow down at the sight. Based on the photo, her tactic worked with at least one case. It's a little bit more vocabulary here. A cutie. She tied the... Okay, counterfeit cutie. What's a counterfeit?
Counterfeit means fake.
Mm-hmm.
And cutie, this is the American D in there.
Mm-hmm.
Cutie means somebody that's really cute.
Mm.
If you'd like to learn more about how to say beautiful, I wrote an article about 75 ways to say beautiful. I'll link it here.
Awesome. Link that in the show notes and the transcript. So apparently hoping that rubbernecking motorists would slow down at the sight. Rubbernecking.
I'm not sure what that means. What does it mean?
A rubbernecking motorist. It's, you know how you see, generally motorcyclists as well, when they see an attractive woman. I'm just presuming that the motorcyclist is a man.
You drive a motorcycle, don't you?
Hey, I'm not some rubbernecking motorist.
You seem pretty familiar with the turf.
What's turf in this case?
The territory.
Yeah. I just researched this before preparing the podcast today.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, rubbernecking is just picture your, as if your neck was made from rubber and it just like swings back and forth because this motorcyclist keep looking back at the attractive women they see on the side of the road. What could you say about this elderly woman?
Yeah, I'd give her an A+ for creativity. I mean, that's a beautiful idea.
It is a beautiful idea. And she's doing it out of the goodness of her heart. You know, she's trying to save lives.
That may actually kill people because...
You think it makes it more dangerous?
Maybe. I mean, if people are like turning their heads with the rubberneckers...
Yeah, but they're slowing down. That's the whole deal. They're slowing down their car. They're slowing down the motorcycle.
They're probably going to slam into the person in front of them then. What if there's a child in the street?
That's true.
Just so you know, a sex doll is also called an inflatamate.
Inflatamate?
Yeah.
Okay. You seem to know quite a lot about that subject. So there you go. If your street signs aren't working so well around your neighborhood and you think that maybe it is becoming quite dangerous because of speeding motorists... Just grab a sex doll or an inflatamate, tie it to the nearest street sign, and see how that works for you.
Or if you have a business on the street, you can do the same thing. Just throw like a shirt from your business, from your company.
Uh-huh.
Put it on a nice mannequin.
Yeah. Do you think that place down the road gets much business because of the mannequin?
I don't know. I thought about asking the guy there because it seems like a pretty interesting trick he's pulling there.
I noticed that he actually changes the shirts depending on what football team's playing that day as well.
How do we know it's a guy?
You're right. How do we know it's a guy?
It's just an assumption.
It is an assumption.
I mean, I think a guy would do that though, right?
Sounds like a very guy thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that concludes another completely random news story from Real Life English Podcasts. Shall we move on to today's conversation topic?
I'm down. Let's do it.
Let's do it. What you talking about? So today's conversation topic is actually something that can be very stressful, wouldn't you say, Justin?
It can be. I'd say if you're not ready for it.
Yeah, and that is transportation.
So how do you get around, Chad?
Get around. What do you mean by get around?
To move from one place to another.
Oh, okay. So, how do I get around? Well, here I travel by motorcycle. I have a motorbike.
Okay.
Yeah, what about you?
I walk, I take the bus.
Oh, okay.
You know, I heard a rumor that you ran somebody over. You ran over an old woman.
What does run over mean?
Run over means you run over somebody on your motorcycle or car. It means you go over them and you hurt them.
Yeah, it's true story, but it's not as bad as it sounds.
So what actually happened? Enlighten us.
So the street I was traveling down actually had a median strip.
What does median strip mean?
A median strip is generally like a grassy area that separates two sides of a road.
Sometimes it's concrete.
Sometimes it's concrete, yeah. You're right. This one was grassy.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a car slightly in front of me that was blocking my vision and...
You jumped up on top of the median and it said... Hit her?
No, I did not. I did not. She was actually with her back to traffic. So she wasn't looking at the cars that were coming and she saw her bus. So without looking behind her, she ran across the road and just happened to run right in front of me where I managed to brake.
What does brake mean?
Brake is to stop your vehicle.
Did you slam on the brakes?
I did. I slammed on the brakes. Nice one. Again, slam is to hit the brakes really hard. And I actually threw myself on the ground to try not to hurt her. So I actually kind of sacrificed myself, but I still hit her.
Wow.
Yeah.
How heroic, you running over the old lady, but trying not to run over her.
Yeah, well, it was kind of unavoidable for me to fall on the ground. So I kind of tried to do it with style. And she was pretty tough, man. She kind of got up straight away and was like, oh no, I missed my bus. I was like, whoa, are you sure you're okay? And she said, I'm fine. Her leg was bleeding a little bit, but yeah, she was a good sport.
Here in Brazil, it's like old people, like the elderly, like run after their buses. Like they run pretty hard. I'm pretty surprised. Buses don't really wait for them.
No, they don't really wait for anyone. Do you have problems with that when catching buses here in Brazil?
Kind of, but you know, I'm a lot younger and I can run.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm seeing these like 70-year-old women, you know, using a cane and they're like running after the bus.
Yeah, I can just picture the bus driver looking in his rearview mirror
What does a rear view mirror mean?
A rear view mirror is that mirror that's centralized in front of the driver so he can see what's behind him. I can just picture the driver looking in his rear view mirror with a sneaky grin on his face.
Oh, what does sneaky mean?
Sneaky is, you know, maybe a little bit mischievous. It's kind of bad, but not in such a serious way. It's kind of sneaky, a little cheeky grin, I wanted to say, actually.
Okay, this is more of a British word, isn't it?
Yeah, cheeky would probably definitely be more British. A little cheeky kid is that kind of kid that misbehaves and maybe throws pieces of paper at his teacher's head when they're not looking.
Like the class clown?
Kind of like the class clown, yeah. What's a class clown?
Class clown is the one that is always causing trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like a smartass to me, though.
Yeah, there you go. Cheeky, smartass.
Hey there, Real Life Radio listener. Sorry to interrupt the show, but we're just really excited to announce the return of the Real Life Radio Connected Speech Lessons. We stopped creating them for a while to focus on the Real Life Global Movement, a worldwide network of in-person language learning events. But we're back now, and we've taken the feedback you've given us and made these transcript lessons better than ever. We also added a vocabulary learning resource teaching the 30 most essential advanced vocabulary terms from each episode, including idioms, slang, and phrasal verbs, all with audio examples recorded by us. With the diligent use of the Real Life Radio Connected Speech Guide, you will catalyze your English to new levels by learning to understand native speakers without subtitles or transcripts, systematically building more vocabulary than you ever thought was possible, as well as dramatically improving your experience of this podcast. To learn more about it, go to the show notes of this episode or www.reallifeglobal.com/fluencycircle. That's Fluency Circle. There, you will be able to get access to the Connected Speech Lessons and become an official member of the Real Life Fluency Circle. Now, let's get back to the show. Aw, yeah.
Okay, so that's the bus. What other modes of public transport do you use? You use the bus? You catch the bus?
Bikes are really good, bicycles, and this promotes like exercise and like we said, all that. So even in here in Belo Horizonte, they're starting to promote this more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the idea of having a car, especially for me, I mean, motorcycle's so great because it's cheap, you know, gas prices keep getting higher and higher. Obviously, I'm saying gas prices because that's what you guys say in Australia, we say petrol.
Really?
Yeah. But it keeps getting higher, and I mean, it just seems so expensive to have a car, especially here in Brazil. I'm not sure what it's like in other places. In Australia, it's much cheaper.
Yeah, there's a quote that reminds me of this, actually, that I really like. It says, "Developed country is not a place where the poor have cars. It's where the rich use the public transportation."
Nice. What's so good about that quote? What does that really mean?
Because we need to get away from everybody on the road, hogging up space, and everybody, it sort of like isolates you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like carpooling. Did you ever do that in the United States? I know it's not really common here in Brazil. Have you ever carpooled?
My parents have, actually, but I've never been in a position where I needed it, okay. To be honest with you.
What is that exactly?
Carpool is where you like meet. I mean, there's formal carpooling, which is where you arrange with a bunch of people for professional reasons, maybe people you don't even know, to catch rides together for longer distances. But you can say, like, if we arrange, we're going to go and hang out with some friends, we say, hey, let's carpool, let's go together, rather than each take our own cars.
Yeah.
So this is one way to combat traffic.
Yeah, if anyone here, all our listeners who live in Brazil, anyone who's been to Brazil and has visited São Paulo, that city, man, is fucked up when it comes to traffic.
It is pretty messed up. But, you know, I mean, you probably would complain about that before you discovered the Real Life English podcast, but now you can listen to it while you're stuck in traffic.
Exactly, yeah. Traffic can actually help you with your English, really. Good call.
But if you're stuck in traffic right now, remember to breathe. Meditation helps. I can recommend that.
Mm-hmm. How could they do a quick little meditation in their car right now?
Maybe just breathe. Breathe from your diaphragm.
Okay.
Breathe deep. People breathe too shallow. And if you breathe for like 3 or 4 breaths just from your diaphragm, which is deep from your belly, then you're going to feel a lot better. After even like 10, 15 seconds. But if you make a practice out of that, you're going to feel so much better.
Yeah. Have you had any other? I remember you telling me a story that you once rode a motorcycle in the United States. Is that not true?
Yeah, it was just like a, I think it was called a Vespa.
a Vespa, like a scooter.
Yeah, it was really just like taped together, like just a piece of crap.
What do you mean by taped together?
The seat was taped together. The seat had like tape on it.
What's tape exactly?
Tape is like that sticky stuff that you use to bring something together, stick something together.
Yeah, it's got glue, it's like adhesive.
Yeah, it maxed out at like 50 kilometers per hour.
Maxed out?
It means that was the maximum speed.
Okay, 50 kilometers an hour?
Yeah.
Okay. And what happened to this Vespa, this motorcycle of yours?
It got jacked.
Jacked? What do you mean by it got jacked?
This is gangster language for it got stolen.
It got stolen. Okay. Yeah.
And then I was walking home from work one night. It took me like an hour to walk home from work. I was working at this hotel, you know, parking cars.
Okay.
And the guy who gave it to me, because it was a gift from somebody, he called me up and he's like, hey man, are you at
Wait. Someone gave you the motorcycle?
Yeah, that was a gift, because it's a piece of crap motorcycle.
You know? Oh, okay.
But, it still goes 50 kilometers per hour.
Okay. Was it a licensed motorcycle? Like, did you have a license to ride it?
No, I didn't need a license. I used my bike helmet.
Okay.
And so he called me up, and he was at Qdoba, and he's like, dude, man, are you at Qdoba? Where are you at? I see the hog. He called it the hog, because a hog is the nickname for the Harley-Davidson.
Okay. Okay. Nice.
And I'm like, dude, somebody jacked it.
Where were you at the Q? What did you call that place?
Qdoba. It's a Mexican burrito restaurant.
Oh, like okay.
Tex-Mex burrito restaurant in the States. Okay.
And so he saw the hog at the front of the Tex-Mex restaurant.
And I said, dude, somebody jacked it. And he's like, no, man, that sucks. He's like, we're talking about, like, what can we do? Call the cops. But we didn't really have any registration for it. So I said, well, maybe we can get it back. Is there a lock on it? And he's like, yeah, there is. And he described it to me, and it was the same. It was my lock.
Your lock. Just so you know, a lock is that device that you use to lock your motorcycle so no one steals it. It's generally a code that you use to open it, right?
Yeah.
And
then I'm like, well, crap, we don't have a combination. Well, let's try my combination. And it worked.
Oh, so it was the exact same lock that you used.
Yeah, and so he stole it back. And he walked it, you know, to a place nearby.
Uh-huh.
And it took me a few days to go and get it because I was just kind of busy.
You didn't get it straight away?
No, I should have. But I went to get it and it was gone. Somebody stole it.
So it got stolen 3 times within a couple of days.
Yeah.
So for a crappy motorcycle, it seems like a lot of people really wanted it.
Hey, it's a cool motorcycle. It's crappy. But have you seen that movie Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
You know that motorcycle that they used to drive to Aspen, Colorado?
Yeah, I think they call it Honey.
Do they?
Something like that.
Well, it was like that. It's a Vespa. Just like the crappiest, like 1970s probably, motorcycle you can find. Nice. But, I mean, it has sentimental value, you know?
What is sentimental value?
Something that maybe it doesn't have, like, economic value, but you have a special connection to it.
Awesome, man.
So what about, like, planes? Have you ever, like, had any, like, plane trips or something?
Well, obviously, because I'm from Australia and we are recording this in Brazil.
I thought you came here on a boat, actually.
I swam here, man. Just swam all the way across the world. Yeah, obviously, I've traveled by plane on several occasions. Not my favorite mode of transport, I must say.
I like it, man.
You like it?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess just because most of my trips, my plane trips, have always been really long. Obviously, living in Australia, Perth, actually my city, is the most isolated city in the world. So
I didn't know that.
No?
Is that where, like, you know, Crocodile Dundee is from?
Yeah, it's like the outback, you know? We have crocodiles and sharks and snakes and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
No, I live in Perth is actually quite a big city. It's just that there are no other cities close by. I think the closest city is like 3 or 4 hours by plane. How do you travel around from state to state in the United States?
We have a really crappy bus system and just highways. There's some trains, but they're really not that used, and the network isn't really built up.
The Greyhound is the name of the bus service, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go to the Greyhound stations, it's not the nicest places to be.
So how would, just you kind of middle-class Americans, how would they travel around state to state?
Usually cars.
Cars? Okay.
Yeah, this is the big problem, you know. With the United States, we're not really economizing oil, and we haven't really developed a transportation system.
Okay.
But, you know, like individual cities, actually, mm-hmm. they have, some cities have pretty good transportation systems. And mm-hmm. it really, because it's local, depends on the local government.
Okay.
What's the craziest transportation that you've ever used?
The craziest?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Skateboard?
Yeah, I mean, skateboard. When I was younger, I've once ridden a camel.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
In Australia.
Oh, you guys have camels there.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have... They're not from Australia, obviously, but we have some, you know, like places where you can go and you can ride horses and ride camels. And I chose the camel. I didn't want to ride the horse. I felt sorry because everyone wanted to ride the horse. And I was like, poor camel. He's just chilling out over there.
Did you get up on the hump?
Yeah, yeah. It was actually pretty cool because a camel actually, he sits down. He kind of lays down and his legs are tucked under his body. They're like folded under his body. So... me and my sister, we rode the same camel, so he had two humps, I think. I can't remember, it was a long time ago. So a camel will stand up, like, he puts his front legs up first. So you're riding him, and as soon as he puts his front legs up, you, like, tilt back, and it feels like you're going to fall off. Then he puts his back legs up, and you're up straight again.
I can imagine that.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool. I mean, they stink.
Do you have a picture of it?
I don't, unfortunately. But I could probably Photoshop a picture of me riding a camel. Yeah. What about you? Have you ridden any animals for transportation?
Yeah, I rode an elephant, I believe. Unless that's just a memory from some movie I watched. I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure I've at least touched an elephant.
Okay. But what about like a horse or donkey?
I've ridden a horse, yeah. Definitely.
Okay. What's your experience with horse riding?
Let's see, I've been on a couple tours in Colombia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we have a picture of you riding a donkey, I think, right?
Okay, yeah, that's we'll put this in the transcript. It's a funny one.
Because it's such a small donkey and you're a pretty big guy, you know? But was that the only experience of riding a wild animal? And you touched an elephant?
I'm not sure. Like, I have to, like, talk to my mom, maybe? I don't know.
Well, touching an elephant isn't really such a good story, so...
But as far as like crazy trips, I arrived in Brazil on a boat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you, because you kind of joked that I arrived here by boat, but you actually did.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to elaborate on the...
I took a boat from Colombia to Manaus, Brazil.
Okay. What was that like?
It was pretty nice. I slept in a hammock, but this boat was like three levels, and on top they had this area, there were like an open area, and okay. there were probably a couple hundred guests on the boat.
Okay, and was it a luxurious boat, a simple boat?
It was very simple. A lot of villagers from the different small cities on the Amazon River. This is one of the major forms of transportation. Actually, it wasn't the Amazon River, it was Rio Negro. Not Spanish. Rio Negro.
Okay, the Black River?
Yeah, in this, so it's the Amazon rainforest, but it's not the Amazon River.
Okay.
But this is how they go from city to city.
And how long were you on that boat for, did you say?
4 days.
4 days, okay. And did you see some crazy shit?
Not really, because when you go down the river, they put you in the middle. It's like you're more in the middle to go with the current.
Okay. So you don't really get to see much of the Amazon rainforest?
No, I saw an anaconda pretty far away on the shore. I thought it was an anaconda. Maybe I was just kind of hallucinating, but but I'm pretty sure it was an anaconda.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Well, yeah, I've never really had much boat experience. I mean... nothing but ferries, I mean, transportation boat, not an actual magical ferry. So let's quickly wrap this up and let's move on to today's question. Alright, so today's question is quite a popular one. I know a lot of my students have problems with this, and I guess yours do too.
Yeah.
And that is, when do we use in and when do we use on in relation to modes of transport? For example, I'm in the car, but I'm on the bus. Would you like to elaborate on that there, Justin?
So, with public transportation, generally, we use on. So it's like we have on the bus, on the train,
mm-hmm.
on a ferry.
On a ferry, nice.
On a plane. And, you know, you're in a truck, you're in a car.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of enclosed places as well, right?
Yeah.
So what's the way that people can remember this? Is there a rule behind this, or at least a loose rule?
Yeah, I'd say that probably the loose rule would be public transportation and anything you can stand on.
Okay. What do you mean by stand on? Like stand on top of?
Stand in.
Okay.
So public transportation and anything you can stand in is on. Remember, trains, buses, planes, you can stand up and they're public.
Yeah. By stand, so you can kind of walk around inside there even as well. You can walk around in the bus, you can walk around in the plane.
Yeah.
So you're on the plane.
Yeah. And on a boat that you can walk around on.
Okay.
For example. But if it's not public transportation, if it's personal transportation and you can't move around, it's in.
Okay. So what are some examples of in really quickly?
You're in a car.
In a car.
You can be, with the exception, you're on a bike.
On a bike.
On a motorcycle.
Okay, that's kind of, but you're, that's kind of because you're actually on it. You're like sitting on top of it.
So this is like, yeah, when you ride a horse, you ride a bike. So that's, that might be an exception for the on.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But the in, you're in a car, you can be in a canoe.
In a canoe.
Yeah, okay. You're not really on a canoe because you sit down and it's...
Yeah, you're right. You can't really stand up and walk around in the canoe.
Yeah. Okay, for example, a truck. So when you get in a truck, it's like the front part. And on is more like the cargo part in the back.
Okay. So you're saying if I wanted to put something on the truck, it means I'm putting it into the holding area, the cargo area. Mm-hmm. If I say I'm going to get in the truck, it means I'm going to go and sit down like in the driving area. Cool. I think that pretty much explains it.
But we'll link an article here in a video. Check it out.
What's the article called?
Prepositions in, on, and at.
Okay.
They talk about like prepositions of a place and time, but near the bottom of it, we get into the placement of things and transportation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is a great one. I use this a lot with my students, actually, when they have problems with prepositions. So make sure you check it out. It's a great article written by... Oh, who wrote that, by the way?
I wrote it.
You wrote that?
Yeah.
Don't believe you. That concludes today's episode of the Real Life English Podcast. We hope you guys really enjoyed it. We're going to play out with a song in some ways related to transportation, something that Justin's going to do right now, and that is Fly Away by Lenny Kravitz. How do you fly away?
Fly away with wings.
Yeah, where are you? Where have you been hiding your wings?
Underneath my shirt.
I thought you were going to say something like you've been drinking a lot of Red Bull lately. You know, Red Bull gives you wings?
Didn't know that.
No. We're not advertising for Red Bull, by the way.
All right. Lenny Kravitz, you said it. I'm going to fly away. We're going to fly away.
Oh, yeah. See y'all next week on the Real Life English Podcast.
Have a good one, guys. Oh, yeah.